Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. On this program, we're going to ask the question, how do we reach Buddhists for Christ? What do Buddhists believe? Then we're going to ask, how do we reach animists for Christ? Do you know what an animist is? Well, you'll find out here in a minute. But months and months ago, we interviewed someone from the Timothy Initiative on how they reach Muslims and Hindus. Well, today we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to ask the question, how do we reach Buddhists and animists? And I did this a few months ago, but just in case you missed that program, I hope you go to a church. When you put money in the plate in an American church, here's kind of the norm. 82% of that will go to your local church, their Sunday school program, their visitation program, etc. 12% will go to funding evangelism within the United States. Only 6% goes overseas for missions overseas. And of that 6%, only 1.7 evangelizes people that are specifically in an unreached group that have never heard the gospel. So to make it clearer, let's say you give $100,000 to your church. Of that, only $102 goes overseas, barely one-tenth of 1% overseas, that is, for those unreached mission groups. And that's the other question. When you give to missions, how much of that goes overseas to build an orphanage or a hospital, but not really for the evangelization of the lost? That's another question. It's great to build a hospital. I'm not speaking against it. But I want my money to go to reaching the lost. And so what I did a few years ago, I have a friend who's a mission expert, and I said, I want to give money where it goes right to saving the lost overseas. I don't want it to go to somebody's limousine or something. And he named three groups. Near the top was a group called the Timothy Initiative. And you've seen him on the show before if you watched some months ago. But today we're having back on the program Gary Schneider. And welcome, Gary.
Thank you, Pastor Tom.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
And Gary works all over the world. The group's called the Timothy Initiative. They work all over the world bringing Hindus, Buddhists, non-believers, atheists, all kinds of people to faith in Christ. So, Gary, let's get into this. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we pray that many Buddhists, many animists would come to know Christ, and that you'd use the people watching this program to somehow support missions so that people that don't know Jesus will come to saving faith in him. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us now. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's first start with Buddhism, because your group, mission group with the Timothy Initiative, works all over the world and with Buddhists.
Yes, yes.
First of all, where are Buddhists strong? What countries?
Buddhism is primarily found in Southeast Asia.
Okay.
In Thailand, in Vietnam, in Laos, that whole Southeast Asia corridor.
Okay.
In there.
And what does a Buddhist believe?
A Buddhist does not believe in God, in our understanding. A Buddhism is more of a philosophy than a religion, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
A Buddhist believes that if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you have a chance of ultimately going to the place they call nirvana, which is like similar to our definition of heaven, but it has nothing to do with a personal relationship with God or with Jesus. It was started by Buddha, I believe, back
500 BC or something.
In Tibet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a philosophy of teaching that says the goal in life is to rid yourself of anxiety and problems.
And suffering.
Yeah. And be the best you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's more a philosophy mm-hmm. than a religion.
Yes.
Do they believe in reincarnation?
They do. Yes.
All right. Yes. But it's kind of a work. All religions except Christianity are, it's good works. You try mm-hmm. hard enough, you might be able to come back as a, mm-hmm. a cow or something.
Right.
Christianity is the only religion mm-hmm. where we're saved by grace, mm-hmm. by what God did on the cross,
right.
not by our good
that's
works.
Right.
So, all right, so that's what a Buddhist believes. When we had you on months ago, we talked about, you said that Hindus persecute Christians even more than the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
When a Buddhist converts, does it happen like it does with some Muslims, that you're banned from the family, you're maybe even killed?
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen in Buddhism?
It does, but not to the degree that we see it with the Hindu people. Because of the nature of Buddhism, they're very peace-loving, social, agreeable type people. There's
okay.
an undercurrent, because this is a spiritual warfare
yeah.
that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So when someone leaves Buddhism, the enemy of our soul, the devil himself, is very upset.
Yeah.
So there's antagonism. There is silent persecution from the family, because it's viewed as a betrayal
okay.
of what it means to be Thai or what it means to be Vietnamese. You've become a Westerner.
Uh-huh.
So there's persecution.
And do you see Buddhists coming to Christ?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
And what kind? We're talking what? Oh, the same countries.
Yeah. We have a thriving work in Thailand right now. Thailand has traditionally been, you know, Buddhist, and
uh-huh.
yet we're seeing tens of thousands of Thai people come to Christ, because we're able to plant the church through indigenous Thai believers, equipping them to share the gospel with their fellow countrymen
yep.
for $400 a piece.
Mm.
And we do that because we don't build sanctuaries, we don't build buildings,
mm-hmm.
we don't pay salaries. These mm-hmm. are indigenous nationals
yep.
who are bivocational.
Yep.
They have their job and they're building a church, I mean, discipling believers. And we don't send them to seminaries either.
Right.
We do local church planting.
And you train them locally.
We train them right there.
If I can say why I like giving money to your group, it used to be we'd send a white missionary to Africa and it cost a lot of money, and then he'd come home and boom,
yeah.
things were gone.
Yeah.
The Timothy Initiatives trains local Christians in the gospel to reach other local Christians.
That's right.
And you call the trainer, tell me why you call it the Timothy Initiative
yeah.
and what a Paul and a Timothy yeah. is. Explain that, please.
The Timothy Initiative gets its name from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, where Paul, the apostle, the trainer in our lingo, speaking to his disciple named Timothy, he says to Timothy, "The things you've heard me say and do in the presence of witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also." So there's four generations of disciples in that one verse. Paul, Timothy, reliable men,
mm-hmm.
and others.
Mm-hmm.
And that third generation, the disciples of the Timothys, we call Tituses. And we don't have a name for
okay.
the fourth generation.
So basically, you don't send a white missionary at a big expense. You train the local, we'll say, Ethiopians
mm-hmm.
to reach local Ethiopians, and it's a lot more cost efficient.
That's right.
And they stay longer.
That's right. Exactly.
So we're going to watch a video now. We're going to switch now. That's called Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to switch, and we're going to talk about animism.
Mm-hmm.
And before we do, I want us to show a video about animus in Ethiopia. That's what? North Eastern
Africa. Right.
We're going to show you a video on people coming to Christ in animist Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Welcome. Have you had tips? Today has been a long but fulfilling day. I spent the morning digging up the field to sow seeds. Many of my people, that's MA, farm in this way.
Daniel will sleep well. Unfortunately, many others in this region will not. They work hard and retire for the night, but they drag hopelessness and uncertainty along with them. It has little to do with what they have and much with whom they believe.
Many people here turn to witch doctors for life's very essentials, food, healing, and being able to bear children. But eventually, you lose even the little you had. People have lost their livestock, land, homes, children. When I was a young boy, a missionary shared the gospel in my village, and I embraced it immediately. Although I was spared from a lifetime of being exploited by witch doctors, it troubled me that my people were still in this trap. But it wasn't until I went to college in a distant town and came back home with my diploma in theology that I started telling others about Jesus.
For a few years after getting his diploma, Daniel relentlessly shared the gospel on his own and saw the fruit of a handful of believers. In 2022, he was invited to join TTI by one of the local ministry leaders.
Becoming a Paul was an easy decision to make. Christians in this area could now access Bible-based teachings without leaving their home and at no cost. Also, I would share the weight of reaching every person in this region.
Among Daniel's 22 Timothys are Bito and Mimi, husband and wife.
My wife has started her fellowship at the top of that hill, and I have started mine on that other one.
I have led 12 people to Christ, and he has led
24.
We are discipling these new believers using the books and methods that TTI has given us.
Daniel's fruit has multiplied to more than 230 disciples. His Timothys have planted 22 churches and are discipling 33 Tituses, who have in turn planted 10 churches. Moreover, other Pauls like him are witnessing this rapid multiplication of disciples amongst the Tseme unreached people group. Village after village, tribe after tribe, new people groups are being reached. By partnering with TTI, through the grace of God, local gospel workers in Ethiopia are reaching almost a third of the unreached people groups left in their country. Across Ethiopia, God has used TTI to plant over 2,100 churches and make more than 28,000 new disciples. So far.
So, that's Ethiopia, where animism is strong, witch doctors, etc. What is animism?
Animism is based on fear. It's based on the belief that an individual has to satisfy the will of deceased ancestors.
Okay.
I lived in Madagascar for 10 years, which is predominantly an animistic country. And an animist believes that unless you placate the will of deceased ancestors, bad things will happen to you. Your crops will fail. Your children will get sick or die. So you go to the witch doctor, as we just heard in the video, in order to find out how to please the will of the ancestors, in order to have that witch doctor pronounce some kind of blessings, which are really curses, on you, in order to keep the dead ancestors happy.
Where is animism strong? What countries?
All throughout Africa.
Okay.
Animism can also be like a syncretism.
Yeah, you mix Christianity, a little Catholicism, yeah, a little Lutheranism, whatever.
Right, throw it all together.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's just go to the witch doctor whenever we have a problem, and he'll make sure that everything's fine.
Is the gospel spreading among animists?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're seeing tremendous fruitfulness, probably more so among animist people than any other people group.
Oh.
Yeah, just because of the spiritual hunger that they have.
And they don't really have set beliefs quite as much as Muslims.
No, it's like folk religion, if you've heard that term, where it's just a combination of everything. Let's throw it all together, hoping something's going to work. You know,
if a Muslim or a Hindu converts to Christ, they can really face their families throwing them out of the house, killing them sometimes. Mm-hmm. Does that happen when an animist converts?
And it happens with animists
it
as
does.
Well. It certainly does, yeah. Because, as I mentioned, it's viewed as a betrayal of your national identity. It's more than just you're changing from one religion to the next. It's you're no longer Ethiopian or you're no longer Malagasy. Now you've become a Westerner because you've betrayed your country's religion.
And, you know, we're going to look at one more video today. And before we look at it, where are Christians persecuted the most on our planet? I mean, I know North Korea is maybe the worst place to be.
Yeah.
Where else are Christians persecuted?
India. India by far is the worst. Yeah, we're seeing weekly accounts of our own Timothy Initiative leaders persecuted, even stoned to death.
Oh my!
The way they did with Stephen in the book of Acts.
Okay.
Because of their faith.
Well, let's watch just a brief video on that, and then we'll come back. So here we go.
So many sounds. Without them, this story could never be told. I left my hometown and set out for a nearby village, having no doubt about my charge. Help a pastorless, dying church. That was the assignment. And I will do it. I must do it. But my new home isn't safe. The rebels came into my house. Machete in hand, they began to beat me. I wondered if this was how the war would end. The church had started to turn around. New families had been baptized. But now, a blade would end it all. Take this and leave him. My wife offered the rebels money in exchange for my life. But they wanted both. They blindfolded me, tied my hands behind my back, and dragged me out of our home. For 3 hours, we walked through the bushes until I had no idea where I was. I couldn't see, but I could hear. Rushing rapids, vague voices, angry arguing. They were deciding how to end my life. They were going to throw me over the waterfall so I'll be crushed on the rocks below. They threw my body over, but their plan failed. I missed the rocks. Let's cut out his heart and see if the God he preaches really does live inside him, one shouted. But the other rebels felt squeamish about killing a pastor this way. They dragged me out of the water and put a boulder on my back. My ribs were crushed as I heard what I thought would be the very last sound I would ever hear. I thought the shot had killed me, but I was wrong. The hot lead was sent flying by local villagers who had come to help me. The bullet I thought was my death turned out to be my rescue. The rebels fled, leaving me crumpled and bloody under a stone. But I was alive. So many sounds. Without them, this story could never be told.
Well, I know you might not be able to answer this, but can you tell us where that was?
This one I can't say. It's not a high-risk country. This was in the Democratic Republic of Congo, also known as Zaire.
Okay.
In the past, in the heart of Central Africa.
Okay. So were those people animists?
They were animists
as
well.
They were.
Yes.
So animists also persecute the church.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, Gary, a lot of my ministry is trying to get people to realize the heresy that has invaded mainline Protestantism, mm-hmm. wacko liberalism. Mm-hmm. And I read a Chinese pastor that was asked about persecution in the Chinese church, which is horrendous. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's good for us. It keeps us pure. Mm. It makes the gospel spread. Mm. And when we're not persecuted, people go lukewarm. Mm. I hate to say it, I wonder if the American church doesn't need some persecution. I don't want it, but you can't help but wonder. Have you noticed that? The countries that are persecuted, does that seem to spread the gospel?
Both tend to happen at the same time. When there is persecution, it seems as though it does motivate or embolden the church to evangelize and plant more churches. But it's hard to say that with a sincere heart when you know people who are being persecuted. Like, thank God that you're being chased out into the jungle, you're being tarred and feathered, which still happens today. It's tough to say that's a good thing when you see it happen to people you love.
Do you get resistance from governments for what you're doing overseas?
Very much so. Very much so.
Can you tell me the governments that are bad?
Well, we've talked about India quite a bit. You know, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, most of the North African countries are vehemently opposed to the gospel. And that starts as a spiritual power and principality from the government themselves.
Yeah. All right. So do you ever get support from the government?
I would say no.
No?
Yeah, no.
Because back in 1989 or 90, when the Iron Curtain fell, some Lutheran pastors and I went, they asked us to come into the public schools and present the gospel and hand out Bibles.
Wow.
But I'm afraid that's not the norm.
We haven't seen that in the Timothy Initiative.
Okay. Now, again, where are your missionaries, your local missionaries? What countries are they the strongest in?
Well, we work in 42 countries around the world.
Okay.
North Africa, Middle East, Asia, Southeast Asia, even here in the United States. We plant churches here in the United States as well.
But do you, I was thinking of that, the Timothy Initiative model, do you use that in the United States?
We do.
You do. Does it work?
It's very un-American because typically American pastors want to keep everything.
Yeah, and they want to go to seminary.
You're not qualified to teach unless you have a master's or a doctorate degree. Yeah. But we say, hey, once you have gone through our two-year training, you've received a level of maturity and understanding, you're qualified to plant a church.
And so is that happening much in the United States?
We've planted probably 500 to 700 churches.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the United States.
Wow. All right. All right, let's talk about the United States. Somebody's watching this program, and their loved one is on their deathbed, or they're talking to the guy next to them at work, and they want to share the gospel. Just in a nutshell, Gary, the word gospel means good news. What is the message your missionaries share overseas, and what do I share with that guy next door?
Well, you've heard the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And that's true with sharing the gospel as well. You can't make somebody accept the gospel. However, if you put a salt tablet in the horse's mouth, it becomes thirsty, and you can make it drink. So our first job in sharing the gospel with people around us is to put that salt tablet in their mouth, which I call our personal testimony. What has God done in your own life that would be attractive or make the gospel attractive to the person you're talking to?
Yeah.
So there's always a theme, if you will, of what I was before I accepted Christ and what my life is like now that I've received Christ. So I like to start with that. Whenever I'm talking to somebody, I look for a point of commonality. How can I relate? How does my testimony, my story, relate to their life? And how can I introduce the gospel in that way?
And just again, the very basics of the content of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah.
Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I start with heaven, that heaven's a free gift. It can't be earned or deserved. The good news is that it is a free gift and that God offers this to us. It's not based on our works. Jesus died on the cross to purchase for us a place in heaven, and we receive that by faith. Faith isn't just believing certain intellectual facts like, Christmas is when Jesus was born, Easter is when he rose again. Yeah, yeah. It's actually trusting in Christ alone for my salvation.
Amen.
That's what saving faith is.
Yes, yes. And so we share the cross and resurrection with people. We've only got a couple minutes. I'm just curious how you all are funded. Is most of the money that goes toward you, does it come from individuals or do whole churches in America support you?
We're about 50-50 on that. Oh. We actually get a very generous amount of support from local churches because our founder, Dr. David Nelms, was a pastor, so he has great connections with pastors.
Okay.
And we other the other 50% of our support comes from individuals. Yeah,
okay.
From generous Christians
yep.
like yourself.
Yep. And so I want to do this, everybody. Maybe you don't give money to missions. You should. It's exciting. It's wonderful to know my money is bringing people to Christ in India. So what I want to do, I want to put on the screen here. If you would be so led, pray about it. But if you're led to start supporting world missions, we're going to put the screen on the screen here. It's Gary Schneider is our guest, but he works with the Timothy Initiative. You just go to ttiglobal.org. And you'll find out how to support them. TTIglobal.org. If you'd rather call them, the phone number is 919-761-5760. So I hope, you know, yeah, it's good for your money to go to your church, and that will be true. But make sure your church has a mission program, missionaries they support. Maybe they want to support this or some other missionary group. But let's not be so, you know, the wealthiest Christians in the world are Americans. And
far.
You know that the American church for 200 years has been the leader in sending missionaries around the world. And sadly, we've become so decadent, we need missionaries to come to America. Mm-hmm. But still, let's support missions. Mm-hmm. And one last question for you. Are the cults big overseas? Mm. Do you see Mormons? Do you see Jehovah's Witnesses? Do you see the New Age movement? Do you see the prosperity gospel?
All of that. Yeah, we see especially Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are very active in all the countries that we work in.
Yeah.
You know, we fight against false doctrine yeah. every step of the way.
Yeah.
Prosperity gospel, New Age. Yeah, unfortunately,
okay.
when people are spiritually hungry, some people are desperate enough to go for anything,
oh, yeah.
like a thirsty man in the yeah. desert. So we've got to get there and get the truth.
The Jehovah's Witnesses were at my door last week, and I shared the gospel with them briefly, but I shared it with them. And so not only give your support, but pray for the missionaries around the world. In fact, let's close with that.
Amen.
Gary, we got 30 seconds.
Yes.
Would you lead us in prayer?
Lord, your spirit is moving all over this world, and I thank you for it. I thank you how you're opening the hearts of Hindus and Muslims and animists and atheists and people who've never heard the name of Jesus. I pray yes. that you'd use the Timothy Initiative and other groups to bring yes. the gospel yes. in places and to people who have never one time heard the name of Jesus.
Yes, Father.
Break our heart, God, over the things that break your
amen.
Heart. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary,
Amen.
So much.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And everybody, thanks for watching, and God bless you this week. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.